I'm John Williams. Pete Zimmerman is the producer of the Wintrust Business Lunch on Wednesdays. Financial columnist Terry Savage at terrysavage.com joins us in studio today. Nice to see you, Terry.
I love being in the same room with you.
Well, likewise. You wouldn't have liked it 2 days ago when the market went down. And I said, you know, maybe this is a tipping point. Maybe things are going to get different for the worse because I was so pessimistic about people's cooperation with the vaccine programs. So I thought, this is it. We're done. I shouldn't have said that on the radio because the next 2 days proved me a fool. Now we're gaining it all back. Are you surprised to see the bounce back the last 2 days?
Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to put you on my subscriber list. Everybody else has to go to terrysavage.com and sign up. I don't write my newsletter regularly, which is shame on me, but at like 9:30 in the morning, I went, wait, I have to send out a newsletter to everyone because people are going to get scared today. And the newsletter basically said, I don't think this is the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
And go to terrysavage.com and sign up. I think there were, first of all, emotion does make markets, but emotions don't turn just quite on a dime like that. That Delta variant thing got a little bit blown up. I mean, I felt it myself. Like, how can they go to the Olympics? How can we have Lollapalooza? It can catch you up because it's been such a horrible year. But what I pointed out in the letter is that a lot of the internals of the market, the number of stocks making new highs versus new lows, that the new highs in the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ were masking a lot of stocks not participating. So I didn't make that up myself. I got that from a great new issue of the Wellington Letter that spelled it all out. I quoted it in the newsletter. And I thought it was more technical. But I never try and call the markets. My point at the end of it was, so hang in there. But if a moment like this scares the heck out of you, today, if you were scared Monday and you went, oh, no, if it goes down anymore, it's going to change my life, ruin my retirement, you're back even today. Could you please sell down to the sleeping point now on a good day, not in the middle of a panic?
Yeah, that's interesting. But you also said maybe it was emotions. No, maybe it was technical. If it was technical, that is, a lot of stocks still aren't performing that well. I don't know if that's a lot of consolation. I mean, what does that say about the inherent value of those stocks?
It's very interesting to realize that despite the rebound of the indices, which are heavily weighted by the popular tech stocks, there are many signs of weakness underneath in the market. They didn't get erased by the decline or by the rebound. So, number one, if you're in your 30s and 40s, you got to ignore all this. You have to keep putting your $500 a month in your 401k and say, I'm not thinking about it till I'm 67. If you're 62 and you're thinking, oh, look at my 401k. I didn't realize it was going to ever be so big because now we are back at all-time highs. I am a little concerned. Maybe it's time to move some into something more conservative, equity income, balance fund, some in a money market fund inside your 401k. They typically don't have a lot of good money fund choices because it's for people who are growing for the future. Number three, you're always going to need to own some stocks. So don't let it get to you because stocks are the only thing that will offset inflation during your retirement. It's the balance that matters. And number four, now that you figure that out, make a plan on a nice, quiet, up day like this, and then stick to the plan on the crazy days. That's the whole point of the Savage Truth.
Tell us as much as you can on the radio in 2 minutes' time now about what you told me when you walked into the studio about people who don't make plans, who don't see or pay attention to what's happening.
John, I walked in and said a funny thing. I don't believe in coincidences. I always know there's a point. And this is not about all of you who call in and ask questions about my stimulus or my unemployment or where should I do this or that. I happen to, maybe I'm socializing more, but I was with three or four different people over the last few days, each of whom took a moment to confide a financial problem. I mean, these are not people who have money woes. One was a woman, a grown-up woman, I'll call her. I'm not going to give you any details, who confided that her finances were such a mess that she was always so late, even though she had money on her bills, that they wouldn't renew her apartment lease. Another was a happily married couple, professionals. Well, they don't have kids, so maybe this is why, but they confided at this stage of life, they don't have an estate plan, they don't have a will, and they have some assets, and they got to think about that. Another was an email I got from a woman who I spent a lot of time with a long, long time ago. I don't want to define it, but circumstances threw us together on a regular basis. And the headline on the email was, "I should have listened to you 28 years ago." So what I realized is there are a lot of you out there who aren't calling in because you have a problem or you want to know about interest rates, but who secretly, in your heart of hearts, know that you've left something undone. You haven't rolled over the old 401ks, and you kind of don't know where it is. You don't have a current estate plan, and you just try not to think about what would happen if something happened. Not only if you and your spouse die together and where everything would go, but what if you were incapacitated and couldn't act? If you bury these financial niggling thoughts, I promise you, savage truth, at some point in your life or beyond your life, it will come back to haunt you, to haunt the people you love. So go to terrysavage.com. Number one, there's four little boxes in the upper right-hand corner. One is my free financial organizer form. You can click on it, print it out, print as many copies as you want. You can actually fill it out online. I don't have access to it. You can print it out, give them to your family. That will be a checklist for what you have to do. Number two, there's a find a financial planner. It takes you to WealthRamp, the matching service for fee-only fiduciary financial planners. Plenty of them have been vetted by Pam Kruger. Read the article there. They will give you good advice. You don't have to sign up forever, but they are not trying to sell you something. Mm-hmm. You can have a few meetings. Here's the savage truth. If you procrastinate, don't make me tell the procrastination story or how I learned this lesson.
But it's about a goldfish.
It is. If you don't learn this lesson, if you keep ignoring these things, you are one day, even though you hid the goldfish bowl where your two goldfish died and it wasn't discovered until a couple of weeks or months later, and your mother makes you fish out the seaweed and the bloated goldfish and take care of it yourself, you will learn, as I think of frequently, it never pays to procrastinate or hide your problems. They only get worse. Sorry if I ruined your lunch.
That's our show. It's 1217. Terry Savage, 312-981-7200. Okay, call now, 312-981-7200. Today's Wednesday. Terry Savage joins us in studio today for the full hour. 312-981-7200. If you want to get her newsletter, how do you do that, Terry?
Yeah, just go to terrysavage.com and a little box will pop up. Do you want to be one of Terry's friends? It's a free newsletter that I write when I'm in the mood, like Monday morning at 9:30. I'm in the mood. I haven't done this for a while, and I haven't. Folks, all of you who've been writing and posting on my blog, I stay up late at night and then I post these the next day. I'm behind. I'm sorry. I don't procrastinate. I work real hard at it. And if you haven't been answered, I'm going to promise myself I'm going to get around to it.
Now, you've been very busy. And I also notice a lot of people are signing up for your newsletter even as we speak.
I could see the things come in. So they give me a little ding. And you said, "What are those dings on your phone?" I said, "It's quiet, but that's a newsletter signups."
Here's Jerry. You're on WGN with Terry. Hi, Jerry.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
So I want to know, if you don't have a trust and you don't have a will and you do have assets, and you pass away, what happens? If you have children, for example, you wanted to go to your children, but you haven't designated that because you've procrastinated and not gotten around to it.
Jerry, do you love your children?
Yes.
I wouldn't wish this on children I hate. I'm glad I don't have a child that I hate. It will be a disaster. First of all, you are just causing them so much harm. The state will take over. They'll appoint a probate attorney who doesn't care and who rips off all the liquid assets in your state, and it'll take 6 or 7 or 8 months, and nobody will know how to continue paying the mortgage. No one will know whether it's worth it mowing the lawn. You're just creating a disaster. Wherever you live, just go to your local bank and ask for an attorney who does estate planning. You could search the Bar Association in your area. You know, I do this all over the country, and people listen to this. So just search for an estate planning attorney. Now, you own a house. Is it in your name or joint name?
Joint name.
Okay. If you die first, then your spouse will inherit it. But if both of you are in a car accident, then your estate goes into probate. You have an IRA account?
Yeah.
Okay, did you designate a beneficiary?
My husband and my kids.
Okay, that doesn't go into your estate because you've designated a beneficiary. But your check, you have money in a savings account or a money market account at a bank in your name or joint
checking.
Name?
Yeah.
Checking. Okay, all that gets tied up in probate. It's just terrible. Find an attorney. You could do a simple will which says, I leave everything to my spouse, and if we both die, to my kids. Or probably better yet, you should create something called a revocable living trust.
Yeah.
It puts you in charge while you're alive. If you go to terrysavage.com, there's a box marked search columns, and just write the words revocable living trust. Someone asked me that recently, so I did the search myself because I wanted to give them a link to it. There's three or four columns about that. But don't procrastinate. You're going to have goldfish belly up. That's what's worse is your kids having stuck in probate with your house. Okay.
Good luck to you, Jerry. And by the way, just because he was on with us in the last hour, Carrie Peck from Peck Ritchie.
Oh, right. Exactly.
He does that in Chicago.
He does really terrific financial planning around issues with children. All kinds of things. But this doesn't have to cost you a lot.
Yeah.
Don't be scared of it. It's worse to hide this.
You are vaccinated. And you have a breakthrough.
I'll turn that off. And by the way, it's a one-time thing. It's not like you have to pay it
over. If you ever want to change it, you want to disinherit one kid later on. You know, you just pay a little more money. Just do it once. It's a one-time thing.
A 708. My husband and I have about $500,000 in our checking account. We have $500,000 in various funds. Should we take money out of checking and invest it somewhere else? We have two more kids to put through college. We paid cash for the first.
First of all, good for you, and good for you for having all that money. But I wouldn't leave all that money, even though it's insured because you have joint accounts and so forth, in a bank. Go to terrysavage.com and under search columns, read Treasury bills. You can buy IOUs direct from the government. They're not paying anything these days. The Fed's keeping rates low.
Why would you put it in a Treasury?
You don't pay state income taxes on it, and it's a level of security above a bank. It's not to earn more money. Now, one of the things, you've been smart, don't be tempted to say, I'm only getting 0.25% or 0.5% on a one-year CD at my bank. I think I'll go buy XYZ because my broker called me and said I could earn 2.9% in an annuity, in of some kind of an income fund. Higher rates today mean higher risk. You've got two more kids to go through college. I want you to keep it safe. But you're giving the bank a gift of $500,000 sitting there in a checking account. So I would just go automatically buy a U.S. Treasury bill online at treasurydirect.gov. Just search the columns Terry Savage. It's about a two-year-old column when rates and treasuries were higher than banks.
Yeah.
But it shows you how to buy treasury bills. You'll stagger the maturities. So you put $100,000 in 6-month treasury bills now, wait 3 weeks, put another $100,000 in. So as they mature, they automatically roll over at whatever the new, hopefully higher rate will be down the road.
This is Jan. You're on WGN. Hi, Jan.
Hi, John and Terry. I have a quick question. I know you're sick of IRS questions, but I had my taxes done the end of March. I still haven't received my refund, and I keep going to the site. It just keeps saying pending review. I've even checked with my tax guy.
Stand by.
I think that the Where's My Refund site is sponsored by Mailox, because more people get indigestion from going there and thinking, but they must have found it. Where are they in the process of it? If you have filed, did you file paper or electronic?
Stand by. That's line 4, right? Yeah, go ahead, Jen. Did you file electronically?
Electronically, yes.
Did you put a banking information?
With the tax guy, but I also had unemployment I had a claim too.
Okay.
Maybe is that why?
Guess what? They are reviewing. Yep. Here's one thing that'll hold yours up. They're reviewing everybody who filed and included the first $10,200 of unemployment, which later became not taxable. So those returns that have unemployment on them are taking longer to process. But the bottom line is patience. It will take. I hope you call me back on our Thanksgiving show and tell me if you got it. But the one thing, you'll get 3% interest.
3%.
Yep.
Okay, thanks and good luck, and be patient. It's 12:43. Still more questions for Terry Savage at 312-981-7200. On the Business Lunch, we've got more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. The upscale convenience store Foxtrot expects to open 50 new stores in the next 2 years. It currently has 9 locations in Chicago and others in Dallas and Washington, D.C. Foxtrot plans to open new stores in the Gold Coast, Lakeview, and West Loop this year. Four more are expected to be added next year. The company also expects to enter New York City, Austin, Texas, Boston, Miami, Los Angeles, and Houston over the next 2 years. The new sites will include cafes. Another new development in the Fulton Market District. This latest project is a 26-story residential high-rise planned at the corner of Fulton and Ada Streets. The building will include 316 units, including 63 units that qualify under the city's Affordable Housing Requirements Ordinance. Cranes reports the building would rise 270 feet and include 200 parking spaces, according to plans filed with the city. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Now the business of food, and Steve Alexander.
Yep, today is National Junk Food Day, Johnny. It reminds me of our friend Orion Samuelson and what he said many times on this radio station. Food is not junk. It is the product of a lot of hard work and risk on the part of producers and processors, and the Big O did not take kindly to calling it junk. Nonetheless, it is on the calendar. And here to help us commemorate the day is
Matt Zajahowski.
Matt works at a Chicago marketing agency whose client, Bid On Equipment, is in the business of selling food manufacturing equipment and decided to have a little bit of fun and pay for research on what the favorite junk foods are in the United States. So let's begin with Illinois. The top junk foods in the land of Lincoln?
Donuts, which I don't think is a huge surprise being a Chicago resident, followed by small cakes, and then cupcakes were the top three.
How about Wisconsin?
Sure. Number one was apple crumb. Two was cream pies. And number three was dirt cake.
Nothing cheesy? Okay. How about Michigan?
Number one was also apple crumb. Number two was sprinkled donuts. And number three was Great Lakes pot pies.
Indiana joined Illinois with donuts as number one.
Number two was a very specific ice cream cake from the Dairy Queen. And number three was pineapple upside down cake.
Iowa added something called Oreo balls to the mix, and nationwide, donuts and various types of cakes and pastries made up most of the top 10, with one exception, and that was chicken pot pie at number nine. But none of these seem really junky to me. I mean, where are those saturated fatty chips and things like that? However you decide to celebrate, remember what Orion said. It isn't junk. At the Chicago Board of Trade right now, we've got a mixed bag with beans down about 2 cents. Corn is trading a penny higher, and wheat is now up about 8.5 cents. Today's a big one on the food calendar besides junk food. It is an occasion of great importance and reverence in our town, National Hot Dog Day. Enjoy. That's the business of food, yeah, on 720 WGN.
Terry, you were looking up on your phone.
Two quickies. Right. I always want to make sure I give out accurate information, so I hedged my bets. The first caller asked if she's a non-working spouse, if she can have an IRA. I said, yes, you can have an IRA if you and your spouse file jointly and have enough income to cover the contributions. But I wasn't sure if it applies to a Roth, and yes, you could have a traditional or a Roth IRA as a non-working spouse, file jointly, and have enough earned income to cover both contributions, yours and your spouse's.
Does Terry Savage think there's any chance student loan forbearance will be extended beyond September?
Boy, that's coin toss. It's been crazily silent. If you think this administration's got a lot on its mind, this administration not only has a lot on its mind, but a lot coming up before that. They're trying to get the infrastructure bill through. They're worried about a budget deal. We have a debt ceiling limitation that ends in 2 weeks. And they can have continuing resolutions, but it's entirely possible that when the new budget year starts, if they don't have a resolution, which the Republicans would have to agree to, that we could have, we've had that, Republicans have done that before. Well, that will just shut down government and the military won't get paid. So those things loom as larger priorities. And so that makes me weigh the odds slightly against doing anything about debt.
So forbearance, September.
Forbearance, maybe it'll be a last minute thing that can be done by executive order. It was done by executive order. So maybe it'll catch the president's attention. But I am saying there are a lot of financial things coming up now. We haven't heard the outcry over mortgage forbearance yet.
It might just end. So it's quite possible that forbearance will end. Your payments will be due. A lot of people are thinking right. September not for forbearance. They're thinking about loan forgiveness, and that's when that's
going to pop. Yeah, no, and that one is going to be a much tougher thing. So maybe by executive order, when they realize people are squealing about it, they will continue forbearance. Depends a lot on the economic news and so forth, COVID, that would make it easier to extend it. And maybe, but I'm not sure loan forgiveness is going to get through on this. They got too many big things first.
This is Richard. You're on WG. And Richard, how can we help you?
Jerry, I have a question. I am considering opening either a Roth account or another stock type account for my grandchildren who have expressed an interest in stocks. And I'm concerned because the oldest is going to be looking for a college next year.
Wait, stop.
And I wonder.
Stop. Let me ask you this. Does any of your grandchildren have earned income, a job that paid them? Oh, they do. Okay. Okay. Well, I would suggest. So how much could they have earned each?
Well, they will earn enough to put something in, if not the whole amount. And I figured I'd contribute something to match theirs every year. But my concerns are
going to mess up your federal loan.
No.
Whether or
you're
not
gonna,
their application.
Okay. You can have a custodial Roth IRA. Okay. And that means that it won't count as income against them. So I would suggest you go to stockpile.com. That's a spot where they're not going to be trading. They're not going to pick 8s and 16s, but they can look at the stocks. I'm pretty sure they act as custodian for IRAs for minors. And matching a minor's IRA contribution, or let's say the kid earned $750 and managed to save $250. But they did earn $750. You could put in the other $500. So you can make a 2-to-1 match and tell them that because they saved, even if they didn't, you could put the whole thing in. You're going to open this Roth IRA contribution. Now, because you're the grandparent and as custodian, it won't even count on the FAFSA form for them.
That's good.
They only have to file parental assets or custodial account assets. Now, traditional custodial account assets that are held by a parent do weigh 7 times more heavily against you in the financial aid formula. So you don't want the parent to be the custodian of the Roth because then it would weigh heavily against you. And the other thing you should be doing is, why don't you just open a 529 college savings account, at least for the youngest ones, give it a few years to grow. That would be totally separate from any Roth IRA that you might open for.
Wouldn't affect
them. And on those 529 accounts, is that pre-tax or after-tax dollars?
You put in after-tax dollars, but all the growth comes out tax-free when used for college expenses.
Good luck, Richard. I appreciate your phone call. Marcia, you want to take some money out as well, right? How can we help you?
Hi, Terry. Thank you so much. We have RMD money that needs to come out before the end of the year. How do you recommend us doing that?
Where's the money sitting right now?
It's invested in mutual funds.
So you call,
an IRA.
What's RMD
okay.
money?
Oh, RMD, required minimum distribution. Now, are you 72?
Oh, gal, yeah, more, plus.
Well, you sound so young. That's why I asked. I thought maybe you aren't even, you were 70 even. And
I have 45 seconds.
Okay, call up the mutual fund company. First of all, you have to total up all your accounts, but you can take it out from one or two accounts. Call them up and say, I'm taking my RMD. I have $987,000 in all my retirement accounts. How much do I need to take? Send me a check, and by the way, withhold 20% for taxes.
20%
That's how you do it.
But should you manage the funds from which you withdraw it for tax purposes, like when you bought?
No, it's all coming out taxed as ordinary income. But in one mutual fund account, this would be a good time. We're at all-time highs. If you don't want to take it out till near the end of the year, switch the whatever you figure is the RMD. If it's $80,000 or whatever be, switch it to a money market fund now, so you aren't forced to sell in November when the market may be down.
Time's up. Terry Savage in our studio and always online, terrysavage.com. As always, thanks for your help, Terry.
Thank you. I love being here.